This is an ABC Radio National podcast. For full details, abc.net.au/rn.
Welcome to Lingua Franca on ABC Radio National. I'm Jill Kitson. This week, shake a leg, talk the talk. Bruce Moore on the new edition of Australian Aboriginal Words in English, a lexicon of some 450 Aboriginal words that have entered Australian English since 1788. Bruce Moore is the director of the Australian National Dictionary Centre at ANU and one of the editors of Australian Aboriginal Words in English. Of the three dozen or so loan words new to the second edition, one is Wick, as in the Wick people, and the Wick decision of the High Court on the 23rd of December 1996.
Wick woman Gladys Typen Goomper broke out in a spontaneous show of her happiness yesterday by displaying a shake-a-leg dance and playing her clapsticks in front of the High Court.
It is, to me, an historic moment because for the first time I'm here all the way from Cape York. And I'm proud to be as a Wick woman. It's the Christmas present I'll take to the Wick people.
Gladys Typen Goomper. Here's Bruce Moore.
Before this native title case, most Australians would not have known of the Wick people. As a result of the Wick decision of the High Court, the term Wick is known by all and has entered Australian English. Similarly, most Australians would not have known the term shake a leg. It is described in the journal Aboriginal History in 1983. Shake a leg is performed solo or as part of a small group with the dancers using an extreme spread leg movement. Until 1996, shake a leg was a term that belonged to the Aboriginal community. But here we witness a moment of transition, as a term that existed in Aboriginal English moves out into the wider community of Australian English. The first edition of Australian Aboriginal Words in English, drawing largely on the evidence of the Australian National Dictionary, listed some 400 Australian words borrowed from about 80 Aboriginal languages. Most of these words were borrowed in the early days of European settlement, and most refer to the physical world, words for new fauna and flora, features of the environment and implements. The languages from which most words were borrowed were those closest to the areas of settlement. Thus, the words that come from the Sydney language, probably to be equated with Darug, include betong, dingo, koala, padamelon, potaroo, wallaroo, wombat, boobook, currawong, waratah, corroboree, boomerang, Nulla Nulla, Waddy, Woomera, Bombora, Gibber and Gunya. When settlement reached southwestern Western Australia, there was a similar proliferation of borrowings from Noongar, the language of the Perth area, especially to describe the new flora and fauna. These include Boodie, Chudditch, Dalgite, a Western Australian name for the bilby, Dunart, a pouch mouse, Nulbenga, the honey possum, quokka, jarra and kylie, a Western Australian name for a boomerang and possibly the origin of the personal name Kylie. All of these borrowings are nouns. There were some borrowings of other parts of speech, but these were not borrowed directly from the particular Aboriginal languages. Rather, these were words that found their way into 19th century Australian pidgin English and then into mainstream Australian English. Bogey, a Darug noun and verb meaning a swim or to swim to bathe, still exists in parts of country Australia and is retained in the names of various bogey or swimming holes. The main remnants of 19th century pidgin are two words from the Yagara language of the Brisbane region, words which many Australians do not recognise as Aboriginal. The first is yakka, appearing as the verb to work, to labour, and as the noun work, especially in the compound hard yakka. The second is the adjective bung. This word meant dead in Yagara, and it is used in this sense in Australian pidgin in the second half of the 19th century, especially in the phrase to go bung, meaning to die. By the end of the 19th century, bung had moved into mainstream Australian English, first in the transferred sense bankrupt, and then in the senses incapacitated, exhausted, broken, with to go bung now meaning to fail, to collapse, to be broken, as in my career goes bung, or the telly's gone bung. By the end of the 19th century, it seemed that the process of borrowing from Aboriginal languages had ceased. This was in keeping with the dominant notion that Aboriginal peoples, Aboriginal languages, and Aboriginal culture would gradually fade away and die out. The function of government, in a common metaphor, was to smooth the pillow of the dying race, that is, to make life bearable for those last remnants of the great tribes of the past. The report card from the beginning of the 21st century, however, tells a somewhat different story. The new edition of Australian Aboriginal Words in English adds about three dozen loan words that have general currency and for which it has been possible to discover etymologies. Of course, there are many other words, especially for flora, that we strongly suspect have their origins in Aboriginal languages, but the words added are those for which we have certain origins. There are new names for marsupials from central and northwestern Australia, such as Kaluta, Minkari, and Monjon. In the Kimberley, a freshwater crustacean is called a cherubin. One of the names for the Murray cod in South Australia is Pondy. There are many plant names: Amola, Bullich, Burgan, Ilyari, Malaga, Midium, and Mila Mila. There are terms for features of the environment, such as Birida in Western Australia for a gypsum clay pan. There are two new regional names for the term Aboriginal person. Anangu is from Pitjantjatjara and is used in the western desert of Central Australia. Yura is from the Adnea Mudna language and is used in the Flinders Ranges area of South Australia. Some of these words are not new to Australian English, but get their Guernsey in this edition because their etymology is now known. But they are also part of a trend to use more indigenous names for flora and fauna. One of the most widely used terms in the bush foods industry is a kudjera. This is a term for the bush tomato, and the name was taken from the Alyawa language of the Northern Territory. A Sydney restaurant offers an entree of prawns stuffed with seafood kibble fritto misto, rocket and baby endive, a kudjera dressing. And so a kudjera finds its way into Australian Aboriginal words in English. This new edition of the book, especially in a chapter called English Words Extended, demonstrates that from the late 1960s, many English words have been put together in new combinations to describe the life, habits and aspirations of the Indigenous inhabitants of Australia. Such word extension and combination occurred in the 19th century: bark canoe, 1830, country, 1843, bull roarer, 1848, Point the Bone, 1884, Bush Tucker, 1895, Bark Painting, 1897. But in the first 60 years of the 20th century, there were very few new terms. Again, part of the myth that the culture that they might express was dying. The smattering includes Fringe Dweller, 1959, Sacred Site, 1933, and X-ray art, 1943. Things changed, however, in the second half of the 20th century, especially as a result of Aboriginal political activism, and many new terms have been generated. On 26 January 1972, the Aboriginal Tent Embassy was erected on the lawn outside Parliament House. In the same year, the Aboriginal flag was officially adopted by the Aboriginal people. In 1973, the term Land Council makes its first appearance in Australian English. In 1974, the term traditional owner appears. The term day of mourning, first used in the sesquicentenary events of 1938, was revived, and a new term to describe 26 January, Invasion Day, was introduced. Aboriginality was used from 1977, but its association with issues of identity and pride in being Aboriginal comes to the fore, especially after the bicentennial protests of 1988. Aboriginalisation, in the context of affirmative action, first appears in 1972, but its widespread use is in the late 1980s. The corresponding verb, aboriginalise, also belongs to this period. 1992 was the year when the Mabo decision of the High Court was handed down, soon after generally known as Mabo. It was this judgment of the High Court that brought the term native title into Australian English. The term stolen generations became widely known in 1995 with the establishment of the National Inquiry into the separation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children from their families. And a decade ago, in 1996, there was WIC. The terms Dreamtime and Dreaming, translations from the Arrernte word Altiera, were well established in Australian English by the 1960s. But as understanding of Aboriginal culture increased, terms such as dreaming track or path to describe the path followed by a dreamtime being through the landscape entered the language. This dreaming track may also be called a song line. The dreamtime beings may be called ancestor spirits. In Central Australia, the Pitjin Jatjara word Tjukurpa, meaning dreaming lore, is gradually replacing the English term. Smoking ceremonies, in which smoke is used for ritual purposes, especially after death, are mentioned in the early literature, and then from the 1970s in works of Aboriginal English. In the 1990s, the term moved into mainstream Australian English. Culture, politics and colloquial transference coalesce in the terms secret women's business and secret men's business. In 1994, the Federal Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, acting on a report that examined the sacred secrets of a group of Narrangeri women, placed a 25-year ban on the building of a bridge between Hindmarsh Island and the South Australian mainland. The decision was overturned on a legal technicality in 1995, and a South Australian Royal Commission rejected the women's evidence. One of the results of the dispute was that the term secret women's business came into Australian English. By analogy, the term secret men's business was created. The terms can be used in a variety of ways at the colloquial level. Kingswood driving is secret men's business, just like pushing a shopping trolley straight is secret women's business. All of this evidence points to the fact that in the development of the lexicon of Australian English, the most productive area in the past two decades has been those words coming directly from Aboriginal languages, coming via Aboriginal English, or coming from new English transfers and combinations which express Aboriginal concepts. This undoubtedly reflects significant changes taking place in Australian society. The influx parallels the development of Aboriginal political and cultural activism. But it also goes hand in hand with an increasing interest in Aboriginal languages and culture on the part of non-Indigenous Australians.
Bruce Moore, Australian Aboriginal Words in English, 2nd edition, edited by R.M.W. Dixon, Bruce Moore, W.S. Ramson and Mandy Thomas, is published by Oxford University Press. And that's all for this week's Lingua Franca.
ABC Radio National. More than 60 programs, more than 260 transmitters Australia-wide. And we're live on the net as well as media on demand streams. Find out how to get more out of Radio National go to abc.net.au/rn. And for the full list of MP3 and podcast programs, abc.net.au/rn/podcast.